Our reading this morning comes from Luke's Gospel, Luke's account of Jesus' baptism. Listen for God's word. As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear the threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Now, when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." Maybe 15 years ago, I was visiting a friend in Williamsburg, Virginia, and he had passes to Colonial Williamsburg, which, if you are not aware, is this historical theme park based on the original colony. It's interactive history and immersive community all at once, but it was deep in the off-season. There weren't any actors around pretending to be redcoats, and the drum and fife brand was on sabbatical. What we had to ourselves were just the craftspeople. The kitchen with roasts being turned by crankshaft over an open flame, and the woodshed which had made the actual roofing materials for most of the buildings in the park, and the weavers and the tannery, and all these places open and working with the most historically authentic methods they could find. And then we came to the blacksmith. And the blacksmith was the coolest thing I had ever seen. It was open fire and hammers and making stuff with open fire and hammers. And that sort of struck a primal chord. I wanted to do that. And a few years later, I got to try it. We were in Charlottesville then, and there was a local blacksmith in town, and for Christmas one year, Sarah got me a weekend class with the blacksmith. I was one of five or six folks working full days with him Saturday and Sunday, and I was so excited to play with fire and hammers, to make stuff with fire and hammers, and then I got there. Well, first off, the other people were like real artists. They were adding to their portfolio of artistic skills, whereas my portfolio of artistic skills has yet to be revealed to me. But also, it's hot, and the stuff was heavy, and I'd try to hold the metal with the big gloves and the tongs, and then something would spark, or something would turn, or you'd put the hammer the wrong way, and then you know that metal gets really hot, and I had burns up and down my arms, and my back was killing me, and I spent all day laboring to produce, like, sort of a U-shaped bar. On the morning of the second day, I called them up, and I had to come down with something. I couldn't possibly go today. I'm so sorry. As an old chemistry teacher of mine used to say, things are hot. Fire is no joke. And I don't know about you, but I don't really like the sound of being baptized with fire. Not the way it comes in our text this morning, not the way Luke tells it. This is the John the Baptist story. We could just as easily have read it in Advent. John is out by the Jordan, making a name for himself, baptizing the folks in Jerusalem who would come out to the water. And he's made such a name for himself by this point. The crowds have gotten so thick, they've begun to wonder whether he might properly be the Messiah himself. And he says, no, I'm the guy before the guy. I'm the opening act. Here's how you know the difference. I baptize with water. He's going to baptize with the Holy Spirit. Fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Sounds delightful. All things being equal, I would take the water. Would take the water as so graciously described by Rachel's time with the younger church. I would take the waters of peace and grace and belonging. Of course, the water isn't always safe. Baptism isn't meant to be always safe. The folks coming out to the Jordan would be fully immersed in a flowing river by a social pariah eating locusts and wild honey. It wasn't easy or pleasant, but I'd still take that over the fire. If someone's going to put me in fancy white robes and lower me into a baptismal pool, I would surely want it to be of the water variety. Even if someone was just doing a sprinkle on my forehead, the very mess-free Presbyterian sprinkle, even then, I'd for sure want it to be the water. Fire is no joke. Even if it's just a metaphor. Even if it's just the fire of living in these days. In the past 2 years, we have watched George Floyd's death and its revelatory consequences. We have watched and continue to watch the most egregious challenge to American democracy in modern history. We have watched hurricanes and tornadoes and earthquakes and floods and snow and ice here in our own backyard and the ongoing consequences of catastrophic climate change, not to mention here at the church. We have said goodbye too many times as the pandemic has moved folks far and wide, as staff have come and gone. And we've done almost all of it over a Zoom window. In a pandemic that seems not to end. I don't know about you, but the world feels on fire. And if there is some other kind of baptism available today, I would gladly take it. When friends and family from back in the Northeast ask me about the summers in Austin, my standard reply is that the trick isn't actually the heat. It's the duration of it. The problem isn't actually that it's 100 degrees for a week in July. The problem is that it's also 98 degrees for a week in September. The problem is that September will come and go and the summer is still happening. And at that point, I have used up all of my capacity for summer. At that point, I have used up all of my capacity for heat. My reserves gone and my supplies gone. And even if it's not as bad in September as it was in July, it feels worse in September because I have been outlasted. I feel a bit this week like we may be in the long September days of pandemic. Maybe it's not as bad as it once was. Now, with widespread vaccination and better treatment, and every day we know more about how this virus works. We're not, like, supposed to desanitize our groceries anymore. It's better than it was, but it's also worse because our reserves are gone. The fire is still going. But this baptismal fire is a little different. And it does something that may be difficult to believe. It burns with purpose. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. It's farming imagery, of course. It would not be unfamiliar to the folks gathered around John's baptismal river. Nor would it be unfamiliar to them that a fire could be a natural part of the work of farming. The wheat gets harvested, the chaff gets burned, the soil gets transformed, the harvest gets transformed. The fire is part of the work by which these humble seeds and this humble soil become something rich and nourishing and flourishing and sustaining. The fire is for a purpose. It is set with care. It burns away death. It brings life. It's still dangerous and uncomfortable. It's not a dip in the pool, but it is for a purpose. The baptismal fire wants to make us better. Like the iron forge, it wants to bend us towards justice. And to mold us for graciousness and to steel us for compassion. The baptismal fire wants to transform us so that we might be more loving, more patient, more caring, more peaceful, more forgiving, more holy, that we might be the better versions of ourselves that God calls us to be. We talk a lot about forgiveness and grace when we talk about baptismal waters. We say our prayers of confession, and then we splash the baptismal font and remind ourselves that though we have fallen short, God loves us anyway. The waters remind us that God loves us anyway. But the fire is still there. The fire is no joke. The fire is there to call us and shape us and form us and push us and forge us. The baptismal waters say, come as you are. And the baptismal fire says, what more can you be? To be honest, I suspect that's not really what anybody wants to hear right now. We're all tired and fried. Nobody's at full capacity. Everyone's a little broken, including me. And I'd love to stand here in the long September days of pandemic and remind you, as I so often do, that whoever you are and wherever you come from and however you come this morning, you are welcome here. And it is true. But it's not the whole truth. God does welcome us as we are, but the whole truth is God also challenges us to become better. The whole truth is that we are baptized not just in water, but with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And hot things are hot. It's not always comfortable or easy. It's not supposed to be comfortable or easy. This baptism wants something from you. This baptism wants something from us. It wants us to love one another better and to forgive one another better and to serve one another better. It wants us to be better. Just today, just this morning, just here, just now, It wants us to be better. It wants us to take, it wants to take these flames and shape us and mold us and make something beautiful out of us. Even in the red hot furnace, this God wants to finish us in God's image. And then lay us down the waters to cool. And if it doesn't work today, this God will come back tomorrow over and over and over again. Thanks be to God.